Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
Off in northwestern India, slamming into a residential neighborhood. The flight was bound for London. CBS's Chris Livesay's at Gatwick.
CBS was able to verify that the tail of the plane landed on what is a hospital. Several homes were destroyed and emergency crews are working at the site.
Sources tell CBS News Israel's getting ready to launch an operation into Iran. Our Olivia Gazis at the State Department.
Concerns about the possibility of an Israeli strike have been percolating for a while, with Israeli officials arguing that now is the time to strike Iran's nuclear program in its weakened state with its proxies effectively eroded.
The Supreme Court has unanimously agreed to give an Atlanta family whose home was raided by the FBI a new day in court. Agents pointed guns and set off a flashbang grenade, terrifying a 7-year-old before realizing they had the wrong house. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Home sales in Metro Milwaukee saw a small decline in May. It wasn't much, a 0.2% dip from the same month last year. The Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors says inventory shortages continues to be a challenge as new listings are quickly bought up. The Realtors report continues to warn that there is a severe lack of new construction in condominiums and single-family homes. Milwaukee County will open its new $32 million human services hub tomorrow morning. The building is at 1230 West Cherry Street. The center is designed to give people and families easier access to support and food resources. Everyone is invited to the grand opening at 10:30 tomorrow morning, with officials holding a community resource fair following the ceremonies. The new facility is home to the county's Department of Health and Human Services and houses a new location for Nourish MKE. That's Milwaukee's largest network of community food centers. The race for governor in Wisconsin for next year is currently up in the air. Joanne Krulatz has more.
A breakdown in negotiations over a tax cut and other spending measures in Wisconsin threatens to put the 2026 race for governor on hold, with the Democratic incumbent saying he won't announce his decision on seeking a third term in the swing state until after a budget deal is done. Governor Tony Evers and Republicans who control the legislature have been meeting in private since April, trying to hammer out a deal ahead of the July 1st deadline. But those talks broke down late Wednesday. Wisconsin is poised to be in the national political spotlight again next year with the race for governor and a fight over control of the legislature.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Redbirds come to town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a 4-game set against the Cardinals tonight in Milwaukee. The Crew losing 6-2 yesterday to the Braves. Rookie right-hander Chad Patrick gave up 5 runs in his 5 innings.
I don't know, honestly. It may be a little hesitation for sure, but it was one of those days where it's a little hotter out there. Early on, just felt like I was behind in the counts. And then as we got going, was able to mix in some more breaking balls and changeups. So just one of those days, you know.
NBA Finals, the Pacers beat the Thunder 116-107 to take a 2-1 lead in that series. NFL, Packers minicamp, Matt LaFleur on why they're taking a look at wide receiver Bo Melton at defensive back, the same position Melton's brother Max plays for the Cardinals.
His brother is a pretty good player as well. I just thought that if there is somebody that could potentially do both, he would be that guy.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
Partly sunny today with a light lake breeze out of the northeast and highs only scraping the upper 60s. The chance of showers and maybe some rumbles of thunder rolling through overnight. Good chance more will pop up tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll have our Courier Newsroom check-in on national stories, plus our Week in Review panel, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and Sports with Mike Clemens.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up this hour, Bang, bang, bang.
Maybe someone had a little too much Merlot before the show.
That wasn't the problem. Brittany Merlot, civic media meteorologist, will be here with weather and wine in about 15 minutes. Talk about the weather, what we got. We got some rain coming in, how long that's going to last. Mm-hmm. And algae blooms.
Yes.
They're back.
And E. coli, too.
E. coli as well. So stick around for that. J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports after 10:30. And we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Not So Hot Pursuit edition. There's a visual element. You're going to want to stick around for that. Also coming up later on today from 2 to 4, Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, the Todd Alba Show. In the 2 o'clock hour, Todd sits down with members from the Shawano County Dems. He's on the road today in Shawano. After the county being listed as a sanctuary county by the Trump administration, not for the reasons you think.
Oh, my God.
And then in the 3 o'clock hour today with Todd, it's the cleaning products edition of What's Worse. It's a great segment.
God, listen.
Listening.
I love Tisbet. I love Audio Sorbet, but I am a little jealous that we don't have a What's Worse.
I know. It's so good.
We should have one. What's even worse?
I think that would be kind of stealing.
What's even worse? Unoriginality or pandering to the audience?
Or just stealing someone else's idea. Join Todd today from 2 to 4 p.m. Fabulous show across the network. We lost Brian Wilson, lead singer and really the heart and soul of the Beach Boys, who has passed away at the age of 82. If you would like to share your favorite Beach Boys song, we'd love to hear from you. Calvin can pull it up for you. 855-752-4842. Anything specific to your childhood, to your teenage years, to your college years? Any memories about the Beach Boys you would like to share with us? 855-752-4842. After the loss of Brian Wilson at the age of 82, when I was looking into his life a little bit before the show, he was troubled for a long time.
Yes, he
was. I mean, the man is largely credited with being a musical genius, but he was troubled from a very young age.
Yeah, he went through a lot. He didn't have the best relationship, especially with his father. He wanted to just create music, and he wanted to do it on his own terms. And I think that when things that go undiagnosed, which worked with a musical genius that he had, and not being around the right people, There's a beautiful
bad influences.
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah, exactly. There's a wonderful movie starring Paul Dano and John Cusack that's about his life. It's a very, I'm not one who really gets big on biopics, but it's called Love and Mercy, and it really gives a beautiful look at what he went through, both as a musician, as a young person, and what he went through after, like, the Beach Boys, kind of like after he lost his steam with the Beach Boys, right. And he went solo. Love and Mercy is the name of that movie, and I would suggest people watching. It's a very beautiful film. But yeah, but underneath all of that is some of the greatest American music that's ever been created.
And it still stands the test of time. It does.
Absolutely.
It really does.
When you create an album that is so revered and so loved that it made the Beatles go, we need to do better than this one. I mean, when Pet Sounds came out, that was a revolutionary thing.
It's interesting that you say that, because Paul McCartney actually said it was Pet Sounds that blew me out of the water. Mm-hmm.
That led them to record Sgt. Pepper's.
What was it about Pet Sounds that was so unique?
It was the use of music. It was the use of layering. It was the use of production. So, like, the belief, the what he always said was like, I know what's going on. I know the music that's going on.
I can hear
it
in my head.
I need to put it down on tape. And it was about the use of overdubbing, and it was the use of strings and harmonies. Now, we had always had strings and harmonies, but no one had utilized that the way Brian Wilson. And the fact is, and also when you look at it, Brian Wilson, I think when those albums were recorded, he was like in his early to mid-20s.
Yeah, he was very young.
He wasn't a decades-old producer. No. He wasn't in the business for a long time, but he knew what he wanted, and he went in there and did it, and it just changed the landscape of music for what people were creating at that point. Because, you know, this gets a little bit deep into the detailed music jargon, but like, they would record on like two or four tracks back then, and that was enough, because you got a guitar, a bass player,
and singer. The drums.
Yeah, he needed 12, 24 tracks, 56 tracks, because
to make it fuller.
Yeah, recording like 30 guitar pieces, loads of vocal harmonies. It was just the lush nature of the music became, and that's what inspired and challenged the Beatles to make Sgt. Pepper's. That album is because of Pet Sounds. Regardless of what you think of the Beach Boys, which I will say at the outset, not the biggest fan. They didn't hit for me,
right?
But I absolutely recognize the importance of Brian Wilson as a composer, a creator, and that album, Pet Sounds.
Memories of Brian Wilson, if you'd like to share them, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, if you'd like to join the conversation. Al from Campbellsport is on the line. Good morning, Al. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. I had seen the Beach Boys in concert twice, 1971, and then at Milwaukee County Stadium. It was called Day on the Green. With Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good show.
Oh, I bet.
Hey, Al, can you turn
your radio down?
Can, yeah, Al? Can you turn your radio down, please, Al?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting a little kickback there. We can hear ourselves.
Yeah, so you
saw... That was my amplifier.
Oh, gotcha. Ah, yes. Ah, a true audiophile there. All right. So you saw them with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young?
Yeah, and Jesse Colin Young from the Youngbloods. Okay. That was all in one show at Milwaukee County Stadium.
That must have been a great show, Al.
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that ticket would be like $10,000 if it happened nowadays. Yeah, my goodness.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Al. Appreciate you checking in. 855-752-4842. Any memories of the Beach Boys you would like to share? Did you see them in concert? Were they the soundtrack of your life? 855-75-CIVIC. Ollie from the Northwoods is joining us. Good morning, Ollie. What do you want to say about this?
Well, I just love the Beach Boys. I guess I grew up around the time when they were coming out. I was a young teenager. And I just love the Sloop John B.
Yeah.
And also Wipeout was one of my favorite songs. Good Vibrations and Wipeout.
Yeah,
I love it. That's great. Yeah. Ollie, thank you so much. Hey, we all wanted to be surfer girls.
I was going to say, they really painted this picture of, you know, everything is so cruel.
It was the idyllic existence,
just
right?
To surf on the California.
Southern California, you know?
I mean, I mean, I grew up in the 80s, and the Beach Boys did not have as much popularity at that point, but they were still very prevalent. They were still on like, you'd still hear their songs in movies and TV shows, I think probably even commercials as well. But, like, yeah, it's when you think of that time period, you think of the Beach Boys music. You think of just a carrying a surfboard down to the beach and your arm around your best gal.
More innocent times.
Oh, right, yeah.
More innocent times.
Yeah, exactly.
And I always think of God Only Knows.
Yeah.
Another big hit from the Beach Boys, which has shown up in a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. And the most recent one, it's not recent now, but is Love Actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
It plays a pretty big role in that movie.
And that's one of those things, like, for me, I've said before, I'm not the biggest Rolling Stones fan either, but there are certain songs they've done that are really wonderful. And I would say God Only Knows is an undeniably gorgeous song for both the music as well as what he was exploring in that. You know, it was weird. And I said this before we went on the show, we started the show today, is that when those bands in the 60s came out, a lot of them, they were always like clean cut young boys, the kind of boy you take home to mom.
That's
and as
right.
They got older, they started growing facial hair. The music got a little more experimentational. The subject matters grew. And Brian Wilson's subject matter started to grow, but they would still write some surfer songs, and they would still, and they'd all have, like, they were all like tan bearded hippie
they
guys.
Look like ZZ Top, but dressed like the Beach Boys.
Exactly. That was always the thing that was always so weird to me. Like, you can ditch the striped shirts, guys. We're fine. We don't need the imagery. But
we know who you are.
But God Only Knows shows that Brian Wilson at a very young age was sorting with personal feelings on bigger topics. And he put that in the music in a time where it's like, no, you're going to write about the girl that you love.
And happy poppy things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that is definitely the legacy of Brian Wilson. And just being a guy who, from what I understand, was a very nice human being.
855-752-4842. We are remembering Brian Wilson, who has passed away at the age of 82. Tom from New Berlin, listening on WAUK. I saw them in San Diego. I was stationed there. It was after a Padres game. And Casper, listening in Madison on WAUK. I saw them at the Minnesota State Fair in 1990.
Nice.
That was they were great.
That was around the time of Kokomo being the hottest track on the radio.
We had a band in high school made up of some brothers.
Yeah.
And they were always, they covered the Beach Boys pretty extensively.
Well, that was the thing about the Beach Boys. It was a real family operation. It was Brian, Carl, and Dennis Wilson.
The cousin.
Their cousin, Mike Love, and then Mike Jardine, who was like their friend from school. There were some other people in there, but that's like the classic lineup. And they were managed by their father. That relationship was fraught, but we want to celebrate Brian Wilson. And I think the other thing, too, that's important about Brian Wilson is that his admitting or his dealing with his own mental illness problems, those things that he talked about openly and honestly and being vulnerable, that allow other people
to talk about it
and to explore it in themselves and understand it's okay that you're not okay.
Yes.
And we always say on this show, if you're feeling that way, reach out to either a doctor, a therapist, a friend to get some help.
Call 988.
Call 988. Reach out to NAMI, NAMI, which is a mental health organization that gets you free help. But yeah, that's another thing. For me personally, I feel like that's one of his biggest legacies is his struggle and his discussion of mental illness.
His openness about talking about it.
Yeah.
We have Stan from Racine is on the line. Stan, you're going to get the last word before we go to the break here. What do you want to say about Brian Wilson?
Oh, thanks, Jane and Greg. 1972, Potomac Park, the march on Washington, D.C., UW students, we arrived there. And who was set up in Potomac Park? The Beach Boys and Linda Ronstadt. Memory. Unbelievable. Thousands of people marching on Washington. It was an unforgettable day.
That is absolutely amazing, Stan. That's an incredible memory to hang on to. Thank you so much, Stan. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Coming up to the break, when we return, she is a meteorologist with Civic Media.
Award-winning.
Her name is Brittany Merlot, and she's going to join us next right here.
Where?
On the Civic Media Radio Network.
Woo!
Wow, words are hard. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
a voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you harassed
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Summer, summer, summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After 11 o'clock, it continues our statewide text to win Scotty Summer Contest. Be listening for the keyword to text in after 11 o'clock using only the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, spelling counts.
Yes, it does.
You do have to spell the word correctly. When you hear the word texted in, you are in the running either for a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets or a hot $100 in cash.
Hot cash.
And then you're in the running for one of our two grand prize trips, either a getaway to Door County or Baraboo. And we've got gas money to get you there as well. You can enter 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. Today, 3 times, 11, 2, and 4.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, the final day,
yeah.
7, 11, 2, and 4. You could be a winner, just like Cheryl in Muscadet, listening on WRCO. Rhonda in Madison on WMDX and Colleen on WPFP. So join them, be a winner as well, and be listening for that word coming up after 11 o'clock. She joins us every Thursday at this time to talk all things weather and wine. Civic Media's multi-award-winning meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, is here. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
We are good. It's beautiful here in Racine right now, but we have rain coming or what?
Unfortunately, yes. Kind of a lot of it for some of us. So we've got this system moving in. It's not even here yet, but it's draping this stalled out front across the state. So a lot of the rain wants to move in along that as the low pressure itself heads towards us. So what's going to happen is it's already lifting a little bit north. So we're looking at scattered showers and storms definitely again by this afternoon.
Okay.
Now they should stay north of a majority of Wisconsin cities, Madison and Milwaukee. I think it's going to stay north of that tonight. But then by tomorrow afternoon, the entire state sees chances for showers and storms. And then that kind of continues into our Saturday morning before things clear on out of here. But we only get like one day break. Sunday, then the heat and the humidity starts to move on in for Monday and into next week. And the humidity really wants to linger. You know, we're getting into the summer months.
We are.
So
yep.
Shouldn't
be a surprise.
It's going to stick around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just wanted I just wanted to stave off because I got to mow the lawn today. So.
Yes.
You'll have
today.
Time to mow the
today
lawn.
Today or Sunday.
Yes.
You'll have time to mow the lawn. So if you want to do work stuff outside, if you got to work in the garden and stuff like that, Sunday might be the best bet.
Yeah, I would go for Sunday. Definitely.
Or get it in this afternoon.
Yeah. Right.
Get it in today. Get it in today. You had also mentioned, Brittany, and this is something that has been an increasing problem, especially the last couple of summers, it seems, are these algae blooms.
Yes.
And these are increasing in number, and this is not a good thing.
No, it's not. So there's a couple of things working with it. So basically, summer months, right? You get the heat, the sun, that increases algae blooms. But the reason why it's all getting into our water is because of the rain. We've got rain going on, running off our urban nasty sewer water, and then also our farm fertilizer and manure. All of that's going into the water. So as these things go in and everything heats up and the sun is out longer, it's just creating this nasty mixture, right? So you're going to get blue-green algae. It's called cyanobacteria. It's smelly, it's slimy, it's microorganisms that can kill fish. It, you know, blocks the sunlight from organisms deeper in the water, and it makes us sick, or animals too.
Yeah, so don't let your dogs go jumping into a lake or anything that's got an algae bloom in it. That's not good.
No, it's not. And they can get really sick really fast. So pay attention to the dogs if they do go in or drink some of that water. Otherwise, for us, we can get sick too. Nausea, vomiting. Mm. I mean, it can progress to worse things, obviously. And that's just from swimming in it or ingesting it. Could be in the drinking water on occasion too. Or if you eat fish from that water too.
I have a question for you. How do you know? Do we assume that they have these blooms? Or is there a way of finding out? Is there a place we can go to find out if this is? Because, you know, I live by Lake Michigan. I'm assuming that it is somewhat safe, but I also don't want to assume. How do you know?
Absolutely. So there's an interactive map. It's a beach map. It's monitors all the beaches, all the water. You can see places along Lake Michigan right now that are actually elevated with it already. There's places south of Madison, in Eau Claire, Chippewa County, even off towards Lake Winnebago, down to the south a little bit. So if you go to dnr.wi.gov/beach health, you'll see a health map there, and it'll give you all those updates and kind of how much E. coli and bacteria and what's going on in your specific waters.
Well, and what you said when we started talking about this, Brittany, I think is so important. If you are ever inclined to throw garbage out your window when you're driving in the car, you know where that garbage ends up? It ends up in our water systems. It does.
It does.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Mm-hmm.
So please
don't be lazy. Throw it in the trash.
Well, yeah. Keep it in your car until you drive somewhere that has a garbage can. Garbage cans aren't hard to find, my friends.
I have so much garbage in my car right now. I'm doing such a favor for the environment. You're welcome.
But you know,
that's
what
right.
But you know what I mean? It's not like there's a dearth of, oh my gosh, where will I find a garbage can? There's no garbage can for 300 miles. Yes, there is. Yeah. Just keep your garbage with you till you can throw it away in a receptacle instead of just out the window.
I just wanted to let you know, I'm looking this up right now with regard to the website and the DNR, and I will have that link in the show notes. This is for blue-green algae contacts, correct?
Yeah, so it'll look at the blooms. It'll also look at E. coli, any sort of beach advisory or hazard in that water. It's going to alert it.
Great.
Yeah.
Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Civic Media's multi award-winning meteorologist. Thank you so much, Brittany. We will see you in a week.
Thank you.
News coming up next when we're back. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There will be a very sweet ceremony tomorrow on Cherry Street in Milwaukee. Milwaukee County is celebrating the grand opening of the new Marsha P. Coggs Health and Human Services Center at 1230 West Cherry Street tomorrow morning. The $32 million facility is designed to make it easier for people to get help and services they need, including food from Nourish MKE. After the ribbon cutting with the big scissors, there will be a community resource fair with free food and entertainment for everyone. A new state grant will help protect and restore Lake Michigan's shoreline in Racine, Kenosha, Ozaukee, and Milwaukee counties. The state is sending just over $280,000 to the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission. They plan on using LIDAR equipment to collect high-resolution elevation data and to conduct biological inventories. The project aims to assess erosion, restore ecosystems, and boost coastal resilience across the region. The State Patrol has now confirmed how many seatbelts weren't belted during their annual effort. Lisa Hale has more.
Over 1,000 citations were given to Wisconsin drivers for failing to buckle their seatbelts. The Wisconsin State Patrol handed out more than 1,300 tickets during its two-week Click It or Ticket special enforcement program from May 19th through June 1st to remind drivers of the importance of seatbelt safety. The State Patrol points out that there were 176 deaths last year from crashes where drivers or passengers weren't wearing their seatbelts. The campaign gives state troopers an opportunity to educate drivers and passengers on the benefits of buckling up, which is a top priority year-round.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Many birthdays in one's life are milestones. There is turning 10, which is double digits. 21, you can get into bars legally. And 35, you can be president. For actress Elizabeth Hurley, turning 60 means she gets to post a pic on social media appearing in her literal birthday suit. That's right, naked at 60 and on social media are words that are typically abhorrent at best, but not for 0.00001% of the population, and that is Elizabeth Hurley and probably three other people. Hurley has starred in such films as Charlie's Angels, Austin Powers, and of course, Christmas in the Caribbean. This birthday story gets a little weirder when her son commented on the photo saying, "Happy birthday, Mama." So sweet. Again, probably 0.0001% of kids that wouldn't be mortified at a naked picture of a 60-year-old parent on Instagram. And to make things even weirder, and before you think you might have a shot, fellas, she's dating Billy Ray Cyrus, who calls her the love of his life. Who else has an achy breaky heart right now? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny today with a light lake breeze out of the northeast and highs only scraping the upper 60s. The chance of showers and maybe some rumbles of thunder rolling through overnight. Good chance more will pop up tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, the Wisconsin Policy Forum drops a bombshell report on the impacts of the big, brutal bill in Wisconsin. I'm joined by their communications director, and we break it down.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on, 6:05, our broadcast starts as the Brewers host the Cardinals. You can listen to the game on terrestrial radio. So catch it tonight, again, starting at 6:05 on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH, where they host Lumberjacks in July.
Well, that's an interesting tidbit to remember, Jane.
In Hayward, the Brewers hosting the Cardinals coming up later on this afternoon at 6:05. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. Good morning, J.R. How are you doing?
Good morning, my lovelies. How are you today?
We are wonderful, thank you. Should we wait until the end to talk about Aaron Rodgers, or should we just get it out of the way?
I didn't know we were going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. We can. He's married, I guess, according to Aaron Rodgers.
I don't believe him.
I don't know if I do either. I mean, this is the same guy who said I've been immunized. So at that point, I think everything, you know, what does marriage even mean to him? I don't know. He might have some very curious definition.
In his ayahuasca haze, who knows what marriage means to Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a little salty because the announcement that he was going to the Steelers came on Friday, and then there was all that breaking news about what was happening in Los Angeles and all that stuff.
So he
really got bumped off the front page, and I think he's feeling a little twitchy about that. And so he made this up.
I am fully willing to buy into that. I have no inside knowledge to the contrary. So that really does track for me.
I'm going to have to go ahead and find my tinfoil hat so the both of you.
I have some in my purse.
Yeah. I just wanted to come out.
If we'd been wearing a tinfoil hat, we would have seen through the whole I've been immunized thing. We needed to be thinking far more outside the box than we were with that man. We had no idea how deep the rabbit hole went with him.
I'm married to football. I made that perfectly clear when I said I got married. Isn't that what you don't you guys know that? Yeah,
I'm married to the game, man. I'm married to the game.
It's so funny that he's been gone from this team for a few years now, and we still talk about him like that ex. We're like, we're happy we broke up, but we also can't get them off of our mind.
Well, it's he's the bad ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, he's the bad ex.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is not a great ex-boyfriend. However, he is causing havoc in other, like the Steelers are in theory a very good football team, or maybe very good is too strong this year, but having him as their quarterback, I mean, I don't know if you can really project them to be a good team with that guy as a quarterback, because his last couple of years, including his final year in Green Bay, did not go well. I mean, it does look like father time caught up to him. And obviously that was, you know, that last year in Green Bay, which was kind of substandard, certainly by his standards, but even by normal standards, then he tears his Achilles. Like he has not been an elite quarterback now since, you know, 2022. So I think Pittsburgh's in a world of hurt here, having really committed a lot of eggs to that basket. And we'll see. There's a lot of Wisconsin connections on that Pittsburgh team, a lot of University of Wisconsin connections, guys that I like to follow and, you know, keep an eye on. Keanu Benton, obviously TJ Watt, Nick Herbig is on there, Isaiah Loudermilk. I hope those guys have a good season, but it's going to be tough with Aaron Rodgers under center.
Has there been, let's just, any player, but specifically a quarterback who's had Achilles heel damage the way he had, come back to a full recovery or a recovery that it still produces?
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, this is the injury that Kirk Cousins had. I mean, it has happened. It certainly has happened in pro sports. You know, when we talk about Damian Lillard tearing his Achilles, Kobe Bryant did it. I mean, guys have come back and competed at a very high level. It is possible. Kevin Durant, is another pretty famous example. It required a year away, which of course Aaron Rodgers has long since had, and they were able to do it. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is also 41. Like, even if he weren't on a torn Achilles, he is obviously in the final throes of his career, right. And it would be really difficult to expect great things from him. But you throw that in. I mean, he didn't have that injury when he was a young man. He had that injury, you know, in his upper 30s. So it's really difficult to envision that he's going to come back and be. I don't know under what scenario you can imagine him being that guy who won all those MVPs for the Green Bay Packers. And I'm guessing people in Pittsburgh aren't thinking, well, that's the expectation. I'm sure it's much lower expectations than that. But I don't, you know, you have to make a leap, I think, to say he's good enough to be like a top half quarterback in the NFL and help that team be anything more than just a, you know, lucky to be in the playoff race if that's where they end up being.
It will be an interesting season. Yeah. I think a lot of folks going to be keeping their eyes on the Steelers just to see how AR does. Let's move over to the Brewers. Boy, no pressure on this kid who's taking the mound tonight. Everything I heard is like, oh my God, he's incredible. He's the best thing to baseball since ever.
Yeah, this is a high pressure moment for Jacob Mizorowski. And honestly, as we're talking here, gotten a little more pressurized because there was a report just out of theathletic.com. I think that's still the actual website, but rubber the New York Times. They posted that Aaron Civale, who is the pitcher that the Brewers said is going to be moved to the bullpen because Jacob Mizorowski has been added to the rotation. He is requesting a trade. He is not happy about being bumped to the bullpen. So
yeah, I saw that.
Extra drama. But already before that, you know, Jacob Mizorowski is the biggest pitching prospect in this organization. He has been for multiple years. He throws in excess of 100 miles an hour at times and has been very effective, has had a very good season at AAA Nashville. I mean, he's had some control issues definitely over the course of his minor league career, and that's still going to be something to watch in the big leagues as well. But he's as electric a talent as the Brewers have really ever had as a pitching prospect. I mean, there are other examples of high-profile guys that came up. But this is a really special kid, and he's, you know, everybody's had their eye on him for several, you know, since he was drafted. So yeah. This is an exciting opportunity for him. He's going to get to pitch. He is a Missouri native. He's going to pitch against a Missouri team tonight in the St. Louis Cardinals when he is officially added to the roster and makes his first big league start. I think presumably they've brought him here to stay here. It's not simply a spot start or a like see what the kid has sort of situation. I think that's always been the plan. Bring him up and keep him up. So barring, you know, dramatic ineffectiveness, I think you're going to see Jacob Mizorowski for the rest of the season. And it's a really exciting thing for Brewers fans to see.
The gentleman who was upset, can you tell me his name again? It slipped my mind.
Greg, it's curious that you couldn't remember his name off. Aaron Civale. He's a guy the Brewers acquired last year.
Yeah.
He is fine. Like if this were any other team, I think there would be more obvious candidates to kick out of the rotation. The Brewers rotation has been, to my utter shock, really good this year. The version of JR in March was panicking about the starting rotation. I think there were some fair questions in there, but they have put it together. Like, full stop, they have a very nice rotation. And Aaron Civale is definitely the weak link, I think, if you look at the numbers. But also, you know, he's fine. He's competitive. The Brewers have a chance to win when he starts. But he is definitely a guy that if you line them up, he is the guy that would be bumped to the bullpen. I don't think it's particularly close. So he's not happy about it. He's been a starting pitcher his whole career. He was with Cleveland and Tampa Bay before he came to Milwaukee. He's going to be a free agent after the season. I think he would rightfully feel that moving to the bullpen would limit his value in free agency, which is coming up this offseason. So he's not happy about it. I don't blame him, but it is the right choice.
If you're just joining us, you are listening to us speak with the ever wonderful sports guru, J.R. Ratcliffe, who is a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports with Jane and me and Calvin. The question I have about that gentleman whose name once Aaron. I want to call him Telly Savalas.
We've talked about a lot of Aarons today.
Yeah, exactly. It's chock full of Aarons today. It's an episode of Aarons. You know, when you get spicy and upset and you throw those words out in the press and you say you're wanting a trade, what is, you know, do those words warrant a team going, let's take a look at him? Or by what you're just saying, they might be like, sit on the pine, kid, you'll pitch again,
take a breath.
Doesn't it help his free agents? I mean, he's not so good that people are like, oh, we'll take him. It might just be like, you're not helping yourself by publicly bashing the organization you're working for right now.
Yeah, and I want to be like fully fair to him. These are his agent's comments with the Athletic. Presumably, he speaks for the athlete. But this isn't like Aaron Civale going on record saying I want a trade.
Okay.
Per se, just to make it
okay.
a little clarity. But you know, like he's capable of being a big league pitcher. Like he is right to want to start. It is not a situation. I don't think it looks good for him. No, to come out and say, I think I'm being wronged by the organization that they're making. I think the agent's words were that it was more of a subjective choice. It's not, if you ask me, like, it's pretty clear. And then, you know, you could see in the numbers that he would be the guy, but I do think he could for a lot of teams start today. And I do think the Brewers will probably pursue a trade that gets him an opportunity to continue to do so. But the Brewers have to get some value back. Like the Brewers have a lot of needs, not on the pitching front, but man, could they use some help with that offense? So I don't know if Aaron Civale is the trade chip that gets them there. I don't know if it's another pitcher who gets them there and that gives Civale his job back. Again, like Savali's fine. He's okay.
Yeah.
It's just that they have this kid who is ready, who needs to be here now. Every pitch he throws for AAA Nashville is a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, you know, that isn't being thrown for the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, it's one step closer to whatever arm injury is down the road. Or, you know, when you have a really good pitcher, you want him here. If he's competitive in the big leagues, you want him here now. You don't want him wasting bullets, so to speak. So,
it's
time.
When you say, though, that he had some control issues, all I can think of is Bull Durham and Nuke LaLoosh and aim for the bull. You know, I can just see some wild things.
Well, you say
at more than 100 miles an hour, it's like, look out.
And when you say wild thing, I think of
Wild Thing Vaughn.
Wild Thing Vaughn. I think of him not being able in Major League, not being able to control his pitches either. That's always the thing in the movie. The pitcher can't control because there's something deeper happening.
Right.
And they got to work through it.
Right. Right. We'll see.
I don't think it's the deeper thing here. I think he just throws hard and there's a little margin for error. But, you know, maybe he kind of resembles a young Tim Robbins. I could see that. I could see that being a Bull Durham connection.
And we could start calling him Nuke and see if it catches on. Good. If it stays, we got about 2.5-3 minutes left. JR, NBA Finals. Craig said
still
the NBA
happening.
Finals are still going on. Yes, they are.
The second season. It always goes until June. The Pacers took a 2-1 lead last night on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oshkosh's own Tyrese Halliburton flirted with a triple double. It finished, I think, a rebound short. So he had 20 points, 11 assists. I don't remember exactly, but I think that's what it was. And he's the star of the show. He's been tearing it up. And I know Bucks fans don't love him. They have a right to. He's been a little villainous. He's leaned into it a little bit, the heel. But he's been really special. He's been really, really good. And Indiana's got another home game coming up in a couple nights. And then they got to go back to Oklahoma City. And we'll see. I think the Pacers, I don't know. I think they might win an NBA championship. And then Oshkosh's Tyrese Halliburton will have a ring. And unfortunately for the Bucks, they'll have been eliminated by that team in the back-to-back seasons.
I really can't wait for the NBA Finals to wrap up sometime in mid-August. It's going to be great. Woo! Can't wait to see who wins that.
When the Bucks won, it was this time of year. It was July, wasn't it? July 14th or June 14th? I always confuse June and July. But because of the COVID delay, that season, you know, went into the summer, but this is typical. This always happens to NBA people. It's like, oh my gosh, it's the second
happening.
Week of June and we have not solved who the NBA champion is. This season didn't end in April, and the answer is it did. That's what the NBA playoffs will do for you.
Follow him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Thanks so much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple.
We'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Stay with us. We're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the Slow-Mo Chase Edition. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Visit the Milwaukee County Zoo this summer to enjoy so many species of connection. Home to more than 2,200 animals and over 340 species, kids can dig into dinos at the zoo's summer exhibit. At Exploration Dinosaur, presented by Meyer, you'll unearth the past and explore prehistoric bones, teeth, and more from mighty dinosaurs like T-Rex and Triceratops. It's an exciting, hands-on adventure with life-size dinos. Exploration Dinosaur is open daily through October 5th. Learn more at milwaukeezoo.org.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're following up on a story from last summer when Georgia's State Elections Board voted to allow county election board members to conduct their own investigations before certifying an election, potentially throwing the elections into chaos. The state Supreme Court threw out that and other fringe rules on June 10th. The Georgia Elections Board approved partisan, conspiracy-driven rules just 90 days before the 2024 election, including allowing individual members of county election boards to conduct their own reasonable inquiry before certifying an election. Another rule approved in September required a hand count of paper ballots into stacks of 50 to compare with the machine count total. Pro-voter groups challenged the rules, and last October, a district court judge ruled they were enacted too close to the election and were too disruptive. The Republican National Committee and the Georgia GOP appealed for an emergency order, which was declined until after the election. In a victory for voters, the Georgia Supreme Court found June 10th that most of the election board's new rules were not enabled by state statute. The court allowed surveillance cameras at drop boxes, but struck down most others, including reasonable inquiry investigations, post-election document examination, hand counting, and IDs for family members dropping off mail ballots. Two other rules were sent back to lower courts. We have the 96-page order at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Friday, so Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, going to be here. He had an op-ed out this week causing some kerfuffle.
And we got some kerfuffle about it, too.
We did.
Yeah, there was kerfuffling everywhere.
Yes, so he will join us tomorrow to talk about why he thinks Governor Evers should not run for a third term.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many more things.
Yep.
Also, just a reminder, after 11 o'clock, be listening for your keyword with Tom Hartman. You want to text that in using the Civic Media app. You have an hour to do that. Then you're in the running for either $100 cash, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. Everyone who enters in the running for one of two grand prizes, a summer getaway to Door County or Baraboo with gas to get you there.
Hot cash and gas money.
Hot cash and gas.
Hot cash and gas.
Hot cash and gas.
That's so good.
Our statewide Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Be listening for that keyword coming up after 11 o'clock, then at 2 with Todd Alba, 4 with Maggie Dawn. Tomorrow, the last day of the contest, 4 shots in the 7, 11, 2, and 4 p.m. hours.
Okay. All right.
Right now,
I can't enter.
No, none of us can enter. We cannot play. 10:54, Calvin, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. JaneSays@civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press. No one claiming this byline.
Probably Ben Hooper.
Sure, why? headline reads, not so hot pursuit of burglary suspect sees police cars chase tractor excavator at walking pace. Police in South Carolina engaged in a not so hot pursuit as they chased a tractor excavator down a main highway for more than an hour. The chase reached speeds of 3 miles an hour.
Hey, Myrtle, get out here. It's a car chase. Don't worry. You can finish the dishes. You're not going to miss it.
Officers on a different call say they actually saw the big piece of construction equipment go across the highway about 3:30 in the morning. A few minutes later, they got a burglary call from a business. So somebody went and stole this excavator and then drove away. Several cars immediately joined in the very slow speed pursuit. The excavator was going so slowly, the cruisers would have to briefly stop several times so they wouldn't pass it.
I just
don't pass them. Don't pass them. Don't pass.
Yeah.
They had their blue lights and sirens on. They told the excavator driver over loudspeakers he was under arrest and needed to pull over. Other cruisers blocked traffic. The chase went on for an hour and 12 minutes.
Why did they even have to use like they could have just walked up to the thing and said,
and
hey,
jumped on board.
Steve, get out.
The chase went on for an hour and 12 minutes before the excavator drove onto the local county fairgrounds property where it got stuck. The driver then tried to run. He was followed by a drone until a police dog and handler finally caught up with him.
Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, we start off with a 3 mile an hour chase. Cops are, as Todd Alba say, turn their cherries and berries on.
Yep.
And then it goes high tech running the fugitive.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's trying. They could have jumped on board the excavator.
I was just say, just jump on board the excavator, open the door. It's probably going to have a door
and say you're under arrest.
Just stop. This is embarrassing. No. But they somehow a higher speed foot chase ensues. This is where it gets truly confusing and honestly doesn't make the cops look that good.
No, it doesn't. Driver tried to run, was followed by a drone until a police dog and handler caught up. The 53-year-old was charged with failure to stop for a blue light and two counts of malicious injury to property. He is in the Charleston County Jail on a $22,000 bond, according to jail records.
Is there no... There was no charge of theft?
Not in this.
Grand Theft Excavator? No.
That's the next movie Nicolas Cage is going to do. Grand Theft Excavator.
Two-thirds are just going to be the chase.
Vin Diesel.
Exactly how it went from start to finish. That hour chase. This is amazing. I love this story.
It's in the Tisbet Hall of Fame.
Why did nobody take credit for this story, huh?
Calvin, that wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Oh, I like that one. It's one of my new favorites. Thank you, Greg.
Doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom. It's a quick jump on board. Get him. Okay. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Today's 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. India's Prime Minister calls it heartbreaking. The crash of a jetliner with more than 240 people on board just after takeoff. The BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee.
The last signal that was received was moments, seconds after takeoff.
Officials at first said no apparent survivors, but a health official tells a French news agency one person did survive. The judge in the Harvey Weinstein case has just declared a mistrial on the remaining rape charge, as the jury foreperson won't deliberate. Weinstein was found guilty on one charge yesterday at his retrial, not guilty on another. A House panel chaired by Republican James Comer today on immigration policy.
Governors from Minnesota, New York, and Illinois are here to testify under oath about why they allow criminal illegal aliens to roam free in American communities.
Democrats are defending sanctuary cities. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.